In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So late winter is not the prettiest time of year in northwestern Wisconsin. Snow covers a multitude of sins, as it were. And as it melts, what is revealed? Rolled dirt, mud, deep gouges in your lawn, garbage. If you're fortunate enough to own a dog, all kinds of treasures are revealed as the snow melts. Old Christmas decorations or Memorial Day decorations, dead leaves and sand, all exposed, visible, and kind of ugly. And yet so many people are excited about it all, about the snow going away. We eagerly share comments like, hey, our snow patches are getting smaller, or I found our missing reindeer, or I got some raking to do soon. Now, nobody I know would want it to stay in this half-baked, half-melted condition. We want the plush green. We want the brilliant flowers. We want the gardens and the birds returning. That's what we're looking forward to. But we embrace this less pretty time because we know we have to go through this less pretty time in order to get to the plush and colorful days of true spring and the world around us restored to its full beauty. Now, recently, I've kind of been obsessing over Lent as restoration. Lent as restoration. People obsess about different things. I obsess about Lent. But be that as it may, Lent as a time to be restored to what we once were. Or maybe better put, to be restored to who we were created to be. And it dawned on me that there's this parallel between Lent and between late winter. Part of being restored to the person we were created to be is to uncover and to see what needs to be changed. What needs to be thrown out, what needs to be raked and cleaned, to uncover and to see the hidden garbage in our lives that keeps us from being the person God created us to be, the hidden garbage that maybe we've gotten used to or kept covered up. Author Maggie Stiefvater wrote, "No one wants to see their darkness, but the reality is you can't fight it until you see its shape." It's just brilliant. No one wants to see their darkness, but the reality is you can't fight it until you see its shape. We don't want to see our own darkness. For some of us, it's downright terrifying. But you can't fight it until you know what you're fighting. You can't fight it until you see its shape. And to me, that's exactly the gift of Great Lent in the church, the opportunity to see the shape of our own darkness. When we consider a service such as like the Canon of St. Andrew, it's really a path through the breadth and depth of our own sin. Or even the sacrament of confession itself, where we name our sins out loud to God and in front of a witness. Now, the point is not just to rattle off sins and or make us feel dour and make us feel like, oh, we're worthless. That's not the point at all. The gift of this season is that we see the shape of our darkness so we can fight it, so we can rake it, so we can clean it up and put it where it belongs, so that in the power of Jesus Christ, we can overcome it and expose it to his unquenchable light. In our epistle reading from Hebrews, we heard a very vivid image of restoration. The old creation, like a worn-out garment, God will fold up. You can picture it, creation, the world, even your life. Picture it as a frayed or stained or worn out or moth-eaten garment. I mean, think of the ugliest garment you've ever seen or the ugliest garment you've ever seen one of your relatives wearing, if you must. That's us. That garment is us. That's us in our sinful and broken condition. And God takes it and he folds it right up. Now, in our minds, we expect the next step would be to throw that garment in the fire, but it isn't. It says, like a cloak, you, God, will fold them up, and then they will be changed. Not destroyed, but changed. This is not about the destruction of sinners, but about their restoration. When the paralytic is brought to Jesus and his friends have to lower him through the roof, he was exposed, probably utterly humiliated. The shape of his brokenness was on display for everyone to see. I mean, coming down through the roof. But those four friends knew something the rest of us sometimes forget. Exposing the shape of our darkness to the light of Christ does not bring destruction, but restoration. And not only is this man healed of his paralysis, more importantly, he is forgiven of his sins. This humiliating exposure of his brokenness led to his restoration. And like a worn-out garment, Jesus folded up what was broken in him, and instead of destroying that, he is changed. His life is changed, his life is restored, his life is given back to him. But the brokenness had to be exposed first. You may remember that last Sunday, Evelyn and I worked together to mutilate a $50 bill. Here's the picture of it. This is an actual bill that we mutilated last week. We crushed it, right? You remember that? We crushed it. We wrote sins on it. We scorched it with fire. We tore it in half, twice. And we said that it was in no way suitable to be used as a wedding gift. But in spite of its mutilated condition, it still held its inner value. It still held its value. So I took it to my credit union and I handed it to the teller, and its damage was exposed for her to see. And she took that mutilated bill and examined it, made sure it was real, folded it up, and it was changed. She changed it for a new one. My money was not destroyed, but my money was restored. And now I have a bill perfectly suitable to give as a wedding gift. But let's not be forgetting, it had to be examined first. And Lent in the church is your time to see the shape of your darkness, to let it be examined. Not that we might be done for, not that we'll be destroyed, but that we might be changed. Late winter is not the prettiest time of year in northwestern Wisconsin. As the snow melts, it reveals a multitude of sins. And yet so many people are excited about it all, because we know that by going through that, we arrive at the plush, colorful days of true spring. May the same this season happen to your soul. Amen.